being in church, you know, we are friends, but more than that, we are family. We should be family in church. You know, we need each other. The Bible says, what good is the foot without the elbow? What is good is the head without the leg and this and that, you know? The hip bone connected to the, come on, somebody. We need each other as the body of Christ. You know, in the world, there's loners. In the church, there's not. You can't do this on your own. You might think you can, that it's just you and God, but that's not it. You're not going to find encouragement in yourself with God. Sometimes you have to encourage yourself in the Lord, which David had to do. But as far as the whole walk overall, you need each other. You need each other. I need you guys. Hopefully you guys need me. And that's just the way God made it. Relationships. It was, he made Adam to be his partner. Made a man to speak to have a conversation with, to have a relationship with. And then he made Eve to be Adam's partner. And he was the maker of marriage. Amen? As humans, we need each other. This is why in prison, if you get locked in solitary confinement, you go crazy. That's a proven fact. Leave a man locked up in a cell all by himself where all he has is him, and he'll go nuts. He go nuts. Why? Because you need your soul needs somebody to talk to. It yearns to have somebody to talk to. Come on, am I speaking to anybody out there today? We were made to want a partner, a friend, right? Can I hear an amen? Am I the only one that seems to need somebody? We were made to need to have somebody. I'm going to start with a little story in our Bible. It's found in the book of Mark. I'm going to read it in the King James because I like the wording. Although my sword is the NIV, I like the King James version. Mark 2, verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Amen. He said, and it was noise that he was in the house. Who was in the house? Somebody. Jesus was in the house. And there the Bible says, he preached the word. He preached the word. Jesus was a preacher. Jesus could preach the word. He could preach to the thousands, or he could preach to 12. He could preach to a couple, or he could preach to the dead, somebody. He could preach the dead back to life. See, if you seem to be doing the same old, I was once doing the same old, in and out, jail, same friend, same Friday night, same this, same that, Saturday, same thing, Monday go to work, start my week, Thursday, thirsty Thursday, start on Thursday, Friday comes, Friday, my I pay my bills, I get my check, and I go spend on myself, and my gosh, over and over again. So if you seem to be doing the same old, over and over, that's a deadness. If you seem to have no purpose, if you believe you are who you are, Jesus says different. Jesus says different. We were meant to change. God is the God of change. We were meant to change. We were meant to grow. We were meant to prosper. God is the God of change. In Jeremiah 18, I believe, it speaks of the potter, the potter's house. And Jeremiah says, I went to the potter's house and he saw the potter at the wheel. And on the wheel, he had the clay and he was smoothing it out and around, come on, somebody, around and around and around the clay went. I remember I was on that wheel of life, round and around and around. And you know, during that time, God was molding me. He was taking the roughness out and giving me some softness. He was softening me up. He was taking what was blemished and he kept working and working. And then I came to Christ and he starts to smooth us out and make us better, somebody, if we allow him to do that. We're meant to be something better than just a piece of clay. We were meant for a purpose. We're meant to change, to grow, to prosper. If we're doing the same old, same fun, same fights, same traditions, we're not growing. And you don't prosper. You won't prosper because you won't change. Change. There has to be change in life. And God, Jesus, brings the change. When we're in that mode of life, I don't know about you guys, but I mean, there came a time in my life I said, man, is this all that life is up to? I remember just thinking, my gosh. See, if you don't know your purpose, seek God, because God knows your purpose. And he'll reveal it to you when you seek him and when he sees commitment from you. That's when he shows you what your purpose is. And then I said, if you believe you are who you are, well, no, this is just who God made me. No, you don't have to be who you're not when you come to Christ. I was a people pleaser. I knew my friends wanted this, so I would be the man. I'll buy tonight. Come on, you wanted to be the man. It's all right, I'll get this. I mean, we're people pleasers. We're not meant to be people pleasers. God pleasers we're meant to be. See, pleasing God brings the blessings of God. When we don't have Christ, we try and we try and we try to bring satisfaction to our loved ones or even ourselves, and we just keep seeing to be round and round, round and round. But when we come to Christ, we start learning that, man, I don't have to be who I'm not. How many of you guys, I know most of you seen the Star, little cartoon, Christmas cartoon about the little donkey. You guys remember there was two guard dogs, and the donkey and his little crew of knucklehead animals, they saved these two bad dogs, and they said, why did you save us? They said, you know, we have a heart. And they go, we don't even know what to say, dude. You know, I guess we're just bad dogs. And the donkey said something that hit me big time. He said, you don't have to be. My God, somebody, you don't have to be. I'm just a bad person. I do bad things. I'm this, I'm that. You don't have to be. I get in trouble. Come on, somebody. I get in trouble. You know, my friends do this. You don't have to be so big. those few words, you don't have to be.
I thank Jesus for setting me free, because I don't have to be. I don't have to be that knucklehead that's spinning his wheels. He saved me before I started talking to myself walking down the street.
We don't have to be bad. We don't have to be. The blessings, I remember seeing good kids get blessed and being jealous. It's just because their parents got them that and stuff. And while I was living like a devil, getting in trouble and everything, I was mad at the good kids getting blessed. Stupid me. The good kids were getting blessed because they were good kids. Somebody. I wasn't getting blessed because I was living like a devil. In the NIV, it says, some men bringing to him the paralyzed man carried by four of them, since they could not get to him, to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening on the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered in the mat the man was laying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. When Jesus saw whose faith? The friend's faith. When Jesus saw the friend's faith, he said, your sins are forgiven. I ask you, what kind of friends do you have hanging around you today? What friends are you being to others? That man in the mat was a blessed man. His friends took him to see Jesus. That's the kind of friends I want. When I'm down, when I'm bummed, when I'm going through some trial, I want somebody to take me to Jesus. Somebody speak to Jesus for me. Not, come on, let's go get in some trouble. They saw their friend in need, and they knew where to take him, and that was to Jesus. When they couldn't get to him, they didn't quit. They didn't give up. These were true friends, man. They said, man, the room is packed. And one of them was probably standing outside and looking at the roof, said, ding, ding, ding. The roof is on fire. Oh, wait a second. And you can probably bet that guy was like, you're kidding me. Really? You're going to take me up the roof? But those friends went up the roof and dug into the roof and made a hole and lowered him down to Jesus. All Jesus could say was, look at that faith. Broke into the roof to bring their friend to me. Brother, you're healed, man. Your sins are forgiven. When he saw their faith, he said, your sins are forgiven. So big by the type of friends that surround us, somebody. I ask you what kind of friend you are. If you're even a friend, you take someone to Jesus, not away. If you want to be blessed, hang around blessed people. Don't hang around with the haters, the mockers. They're just a bunch of jealous, envious people that are hating. Hang around blessed people. You want to be blessed? Hang around blessed people. Because you'll get encouraged or you'll get challenged to be better. I don't want to be just hanging in there. I try not to ever say that. I don't like that. How you doing, Ruben? Hanging in there. I'm blessed. Remember, misery loves company. Joy is perfectly fine all by itself. You guys understand that? When you're joyful, man, nothing can touch me. Why not? Because I'm joyful, man. Things are going great. I'm good. I don't need nobody to be joyful with. But when I'm down and when I'm hating, I want to go with all the other guys that are in the same boat. Go to the haters' house and drink. Pour me another drink. Misery loves company. That's why bad friends want you to come with them. That's why bad kids want kids around them, because they're doing bad. They don't want to be the only knucklehead. They want you to be a knucklehead with them and maybe drop the blame on them. Let's go to Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27, 17. The Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Let me get that on the Message Bible. You use steel to sharpen steel, and one friend sharpens another. Good friends make you better. As steel sharpens steel, a friend sharpens another friend. Good friends make you better. They make you sharper. Why is that? Because they're going to look out for you, man. They're going to look out for you. You might not agree with them all the time. Yeah, he doesn't do what I want to do. I'm doing bad, but I want them to do it with me. Good friends see the wrong you're doing and will say something about it. The Bible says, and you guys know, I've said it plenty of times, an open rebuke is better than hidden love. What is that? You're going to say something to somebody because you love them instead of hiding it. I don't want to hurt them. You know, I want them to be my friend. So I want them to be my friend. I'm not going to tell them nothing. No, an open rebuke is better than hidden love. You know, and as parents, we should openly rebuke our children. That way they know if we love them, we'll tell them they're doing wrong. You're doing wrong, man. You know, you're going to have consequences. If not by me, by the law, by school, right? Am I speaking truth today? Proverbs 27:19. As water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. You get the word face from the Hebrew word panim. And it has several shades of meaning. Number one meaning of panim, how a person looks. If you're in pain, you're sad, you're happy, you're joyful, it shows up in your face. Good friendships help us look better. If you want to have better looks, choose better friends. Panium's second meaning is how a person looks at things. Friends help us see a clear perspective in issues that may concern or confuse us. Have you ever become oblivious to the oblivious? Friends help you see what's in front of your face. I'm going to do this, you know, I'm going to do this and this and that. Man, we can get real trouble right here. Friends help you see what's in front of your face. Because sometimes you guys don't see it and you act a fool and get in some crazy mess. Come on, somebody. Panium, third meaning, that which goes in front of. In hard times, difficult decisions, even personal failures, friends help us see out in front of them or beyond them. Help us see the hope in a better tomorrow. Friends see what you think can't be done and help you believe that it can be done and that you can do it. They encourage you. They see a friend that's down on their luck and say, no, come on. Come to church. God can change your life and stuff. Try. Just try. Give God a little chance. And they encourage the person, right? That's good stuff, church. A panium. Let's go to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. A very familiar psalm. One of my favorites. Because it's direction. And God's word gives direction. Listen up. Verse 1, Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. It didn't say, blessed is the king, or blessed are the rich, or blessed are the chosen.
No, it said, blessed is the man that does not do this.
King James Version says,
doesn't take counsel from the wicked. A righteous man hears a fool saying to do this, and that's, I ain't doing that.
You go right ahead and get yourself in all that mess.
I ain't have no part of that.
And then they argue with you or what, and you say,
you go ahead and act a fool.
It's not the king or the rich, it's the man that does not walk in step with the wicked, or sit in the company of mockers, or stand in the way of sinners take. Walks, stands, and sits. The progression of sin, listen up. First, you hear bad counsel. You know, you hear some friends, you know, hey, you know, something, and they're bad. You know, bad plans, bad mouths. Then you stand or you do evil the way the sinners do. And then after that, you're comfortable enough to sit. You walk, you stand, and then you sit. You walk with the counsel of the wicked. You know, you're talking with, you're chatting it up. Then all of a sudden you're doing what they do. You're in the way. You're doing their way. And then you're flat out comfortable sitting with them, lounging with them. Man, I'm perfectly fine with all these sinners. Come on. That's the progression of sin. You know, it starts with a little tickling of the ear. Right? Remember those plans? We all went through it. You know, it sounded so good, but somehow I ended up in jail. Right? Or ended up in some real trouble. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Or in other words, don't do what you know you shouldn't do. Blessed is the man who gets godly counsel. Let's go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 18. This is where there was an evil king, Ahab. 18. I'm going to start at verse 3. 2 Chronicles 18, 3. Ahab, king of Israel, asked Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, will you go with me against Ramoth Gilead? Jehoshaphat replied, I am as you are, and my people as your people. We will join you in the war. But Jehoshaphat also said to the king of Israel, first, seek the counsel of the Lord. So the king of Israel brought together the prophets, 400 men, and asked them, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall I not? Go, they answered, for God will give it to you into the king's hand. But Jehoshaphat asked, is there no longer a prophet of the Lord here whom we can inquire of? Because he knew these 400 prophets were not men of God. The kings could tell a godly man when they see one. And Jehoshaphat, the man, being the man of God that he was, he asked, give me some counsel from the Lord. Let me hear some godly counsel. Let me hear some wisdom. I don't want to hear from crazy Joe around the corner, the drug dealer. Let me hear from a man of God. I want to hear what the Lord has to say about this. In our opening text about the friends taking their friend up the roof, this is the type of friends we should be, that take our friends to the Lord, right? That encourage our friends in the Lord. We should be striving to change and to grow as a Christian so we could pray for them. So we could pray for them. So we can encourage them in the Lord. That we are meant to change and to be a good friend. Blessed is the man that doesn't walk in the counsel. Let's go back to that scripture. Psalm 1. Let me finish with that. Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, what? Prospers. My God. I want to be like that man. I want to be strong where I don't wither in hard times. But I've still got green on. I want to be, how do you say it, meditating and strong like a tree by a river. Meditate on the law day and night. If we're not reading the word, we're not hearing from God. And then whatever we do won't prosper. That we were meant to prosper. God meant for us to be good children of God and prosper. But we have a hard time being a child of God. Very simple. But so hard. It doesn't have to be hard though. We make it with our selfishness. It gets hard. Because we want to do things our way, somebody. Praise the Lord.